We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. On Saturday, April 1st at 10 a.m., our church is offering a community Easter egg hunt. We hope that you will bring your kiddos out to enjoy the morning here at Trinity United Methodist Church, 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Then on the next day, Sunday, April 2nd, bring the kiddos back to Trinity United Methodist Church from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. to involve them in the Journey to the Cross program. It will be a fun journey for them to learn what God did for us. That's at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. And today's radio was sponsored by Troy and Terry Nicholson in honor of Kaysen's birthday. Our scripture reading today will come from Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 14, followed by our sermon, Light Is As Light Does, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. Words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." God's word for God's people.
Thanks be to God. Today's epistle reading shifts this week from Romans to Ephesians, and it talks about the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and it tells us that everything we do should be able to be done in the light, for if not, it is shameful, and we don't want to live in shame. We want to live with the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of light, being ever present in the light of the world. We ought not to hide any part of who we are, because that causes us deep shame and it causes conflict within us. Sleeper, awake. Sleeper, awake. Be prepared at any moment for the return of Christ Jesus. Sleeper, awake. Know that anything and everything you do will one day become visible to the Lord, will be exposed to the light. And by exposing it to the light, it is forgiven. It is healed. It is not a place of shame. Who here has seen the movie Forrest Gump? Anybody? Yep, then you all probably know that Forrest had a saying from his mama for just about any situation in life that people could find themselves in. And if Forrest were to be reading this epistle text from Ephesians, I'm guessing that he'd say something like, "It's like my mama always said, light is as light does." He would know in his simple way that the light reveals the truth of Jesus Christ deeply within us. And what exactly does light do? Light dispels the darkness. Light shines out from us. Light shines in upon us. Darkness cannot exist with the light. Darkness can live on the edge of the light. But darkness cannot live within the light. For light pushes away darkness. The light of Christ Jesus pushes away evil. It pushes away the evil in our thinking. You know, when you put on your armor, that helmet takes some getting used to. Once upon a time, that helmet was really heavy. And it had a chin strap that helped to keep it in place. Nowadays, soldiers have a helmet that doesn't look like a head anymore. It's kind of square looking so that people can't tell that that is a head. And they have goggles on it that have this heat sensor that can sense where people are so that people do not surprise them. They see a red infralight that lets them know that there is somebody out there. Well, that armor of God, when we put on that helmet, that armor protects our minds from the evilness that Satan tries to whisper in our ear, from causing division in our church, in our community, and in our lives. Satan can stir up our emotions. And it seems to me whenever I get closer to God through Lent, I gave up Facebook and I've been doing these YouVersion Bible application lessons. And I found myself doing three of them on the armor of God. And wouldn't you know, the closer I got to God with understanding that, praying every morning and putting on that armor, Satan started sneaking in. And started saying things in my mind about this one thinks that about you, or this one thinks that, or they're looking at you funny. Yeah, my mom used to say, you can't stop how people look at you. What we can do is we can make sure that our actions and our thoughts are exposed to the light. Because when anything we do can be done in front of Jesus Christ, we can live our lives openly and honestly. Have you ever thought about if Jesus came walking into your house? I know me, I'd be trying to clean up real quick. But you know, Jesus doesn't care what your outer circumstances look like. What Jesus cares about is your heart. The depth of your heart. What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your spirit? And how you betray him to the rest of the world. Sometimes our lives seem as if they are filled with gray areas. And we like to tell ourselves, oh, we have those gray areas so that we'll have more choices in life. When the truth is that we know deep down inside of us that the choice we ought to be making is one that exposes the truth in our life, one that we can bring before the light and not be ashamed of, one that does not have to be hidden, one that is in plain view. The Ephesians text tells us, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Those gray areas are described as sleep, from which we are called to awake from. They are also described as death, which eventually we will arise from, and we will live in eternity with our God and Jesus at his right hand. And when we escape those gray areas, Christ will not only shine upon us, but he will shine out of us and into the world. As Christians, We believe that Jesus is the light of the world and that he illuminates darkness so that his light will shine upon all secrets and all hidden evils will be revealed. And if we choose to live in the light of Jesus Christ, that darkness in our life begins to fade. And we come closer and closer to God the Father. Now, when you come closer to God the Father, it feels like every little thing that you've ever done wrong starts becoming exposed. And you begin to wonder, what have I done wrong? Nothing. As you draw closer to God, you begin to feel the weight of the sin in your life. Light is as light does. And what light is about is exposing the darkness. Light keeps us from stumbling. Have you ever walked through your house in the middle of the night, stubbed your toe somewhere, and wished that you had a night light on or something like that? Light makes everything visible. But we don't always think about that consciously. Yet, take the light away, turn it off, cover it up, and we will immediately realize its absence. Light begins to open us up on the inside. Darkness, on the other hand, is death, division, and defiance. A woman working in her garden came across a beautiful squash plant. She looked at it and she thought, oh, it's so much bigger than all the other plants. It had great big large leaves and nice healthy stems on it. And she began to imagine what the fruit of that plant would look like. All the wonderful squash that it would produce. You know those creeper vines, they kind of take over everything. They sprawl out. And if you've ever planted something like zucchini and you only meant to have a little bit, it takes over the rest of the garden. She came out a couple of days later, and that squash plant that she was so proud of was looking just a little wilted. So she began to take extra care of it. Give it a little bit of TLC. Put some fertilizer around it. Talk to it. Do y'all talk to your plants? They say you're supposed to. I don't know. She began to love on that plant. A couple days later, the plant was shriveled up. It had died. She couldn't understand it. It had been so big and so healthy. And none of the other plants around it looked to be in the same condition. So she dug it up and she examined it by its roots. Come to find out, a boar worm had crawled up the stem and eaten the heart out of the plant, killing it. Isn't that what sin does to our life? You can't see it on the outside, but it crawls up inside of us and it begins to darken our heart. It starts eating away at our joy until next thing you know, we're lifeless. We're spiritually dead. Our light doesn't shine out from us. Have you ever noticed that people filled with the Holy Spirit tend to look younger? I've seen people in their 80s and in their 90s that just glow. And it's so remarkable to see. And I just know because I know because I know that they have the light of Christ in them and that the Holy Spirit shines out of them. Just before the beginning of a church service in a large Episcopalian church in New York, a man came in and sat down in the front row with a large hat on. One of the ushers came up to him and he whispered discreetly, "Can you please take your hat off?" The man said, "No, So he said, no. So the head usher was called, went up to him and asked him to take his hat off. And he got the same reply, no. Just about that time, the president of the women of the parish came in, and she was enlisted to go help. So she went up there and talked to him, asked him, could he take that hat off? He said, no. About that time, the warden of the church. Now, the warden in a Christian church would be considered the head elder. In the Methodist church, the equivalent of the senior warden would be the lay leader, which is Mark. So we can just imagine Mark saying something to all of us inmates in the church. So the senior warden crept up behind the guy and tried to snatch the hat off of his head real quickly. The guy was too quick. He kept the hat on. About that time, the opening hymn was getting ready to start, and in the Episcopal church, they always precede in. So the man stood and removed his hat during the processional. When the service was done, the four frustrated people waited at the back of the church for the guy. And the senior warden, the lay leader, went up and says to him, brother, you might not know this, but in the Episcopal church, men don't wear hats during worship. And the man looked at him and he said, oh, but brother, I do know that. I have been Episcopalian all of my life. And I've been coming to this church now regularly for 2 years. You know, I haven't met a single person here, but today I met an usher. I met the head usher. I met the president of the women's group. And I met the senior warden here. What does it take for us to flip our light on? What does it take for us to illuminate the light of Christ? Do you run around dimming your light so that nobody questions who you are? Do you hide your light under a bushel because it might just shine too brightly? You know, sometimes we run around doing the business of the church without really doing the work of the church. And the work of the church, beloved, is to let our light shine for Jesus. Is our light shining so that when people come in these doors, they see the light of Christ Jesus? You know, we carry the light of Christ in, and I love it when we have children to do it. I just love seeing that. And then those children carry the light of Christ out, which, by the way, Devin's been trying to mock Rick over there and use his fingers to put out the light when he first carries it in here. But we carry the light out so that the light of Christ is carried out to the world. Do we as a congregation, as a string of lights here, do we carry the light of Jesus Christ out into our community? Are we a church that so shines for Jesus that people want to come in here? They want to be loved, be seen, and be recognized. We want people to come to the altar of God. We want them to be able to get on their knees and pray to the Lord above. We want them to know that they are loved exactly for who they are, where they are right now, and we will walk alongside of them as the Holy Spirit begins making changes in them. Because the most important thing that we can give to people is the knowledge that God loves them deeply. That when they have Jesus Christ in their hearts. They have the strength to get through anything in life. You know, I went to two different conferences that were retreats, one Friday and one Saturday, and I heard the same thing in a different way. And it's interesting because it's one of my pet peeves. You know, people say all kinds of things that are in the Bible, and they're not really. You know, people say God helps them who helps themselves. It's in the Bible. Show me. People say that God will never give us more than we can handle. And I hope I don't offend anybody here. But God doesn't give us the bad things in life. They are part of this fallen world. We are now susceptible to disease. And sometimes we make decisions that have consequences. Sometimes other people make decisions that have consequences upon us. But what I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that when we trust God, because sometimes life does give us more than we can handle alone. When we trust God, He walks with us and we never feel alone. We know that He helps shoulder that burden, and that's what we all do for one another, especially here at Trinity. I know this to be a praying church that lifts one another up, that walks with one another during the really tough times in life, so that you know that you are never alone. Because ultimately, our heroes will fall. Even our best friends will disappoint us at times. And the kids aren't down here, but we know even our parents are human and make mistakes, right? God will never forsake you or abandon you. Once upon a time, there was a priest. He was just starting off. It was going to be his first day in the confessional. So one of the senior pastors, one of the senior priests went with him and spent the day listening to people's confessions with him. And after they were done for the day, that senior pastor, that seasoned priest, went to the young man and said, "You know, maybe after people offer their confession, you should say something along the lines, I agree that that wasn't a good thing to do, and maybe you should stay away from it," instead of saying, "Wow!" Beloved, the church should be a place where we can be real with one another, where we can, without fear, expose our struggles, our foibles, our warts, if you will, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We should be able to confess to somebody in the church, "I'm struggling with," name it, and know that that person won't judge us. They're not going to go, "Wow, really?" They're going to pray for us. They're going to walk alongside of us. That is what the church should be. To this day, I still will never forget calling the church prayer line and asking for prayer for my son who had tried to commit suicide. And that woman did everything in her power to get me not to use the word depression or the word suicide. Got off the phone and I felt horrible and miserable. And all I wanted to do was lift my son up. He was in Virginia. I was in Indiana. I couldn't do anything about it. I was so grateful that it came to me to call my first pastor, who's now my mentor. And David told me to lift my son up, to to imagine placing him in my hands and lift him up before God. And I have never, ever forgot that. He said, lift him up before the light of God and pray for him. Well, I had to go to the church because I thought I'd be closer to God there. People's thinking. I went behind the baptistry and I spent a half an hour on my knees lifting my son up before God. Tears streaming down my face. Do you know that boy called me afterwards? He felt my prayers. How many times have you felt that you should call somebody? Or you wake up in the middle of the night with someone's face before you. Or you just know because you know something is off with a person. That is the light of God shining through, speaking to your spirit for you to minister to that other person. Thursday, I was up in the jail. There were 20 some odd women there, and it was amazing. Jess Moss does this thing called SOAPs. It's scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So the women had picked it up. And they used every one of the talks that we did for REC, like a walk to Emmaus. And they did these SOAPs and they read them. We were all crying. They were really deep. They were beautiful. And all of a sudden, I felt God speak to me. Like Terry was saying, telling the children that sometimes God just speaks to us in our hearts. I felt him telling me to go to this one woman and ask her to pray with me. And I won't reveal what she prayed about, but I'm telling you, I'm glad that God did speak to me. Light is as light does. We are children of the light who walk in the light. And while this passage tells us a bit more about what life is like when we're not in the light than what life is like when we are in the light. Like a parent pleading to his children, St. Paul challenges us to discover for ourselves what is pleasing to the Lord. Beloved, never take my word, never take anyone else's word. Don't even take the word of your grandparents as gospel. You get into the word yourself. That's why the scripture is read before we start, so that you hear it yourself. The most soul-cleansing, soul-healing, light-exposing thing is the word of God, scripture. On that first Easter, God broke through the darkness. You know, when Christ died, the world became dark. There was thunder. There was a horrible storm. And then the veil was torn. We were given access to God through Jesus Christ. And on that very first Easter, light broke through the tomb. When that stone was rolled away, as we prepare to celebrate the miracle, and I've got goosebumps, the miracle of Easter again, practice asking the Lord what is pleasing to him. Reading the scriptures, listening deep within our hearts, and finding out what he would have each one of us do that would shine his son's light out into the world. Our song of response by Austin French is straight from scripture. Thank God for the daylight. I've spent too long in the dark. Felt good saying goodbye. Waking up with a brand new heart. And if you're sleeping like I used to be in a grave that holds you tight, there's a Savior calling, promising a brand new life. He is saying, wake up, sleeper. Open your eyes. Leave the past at the door. Death doesn't live here anymore.